Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among one another. The point of life is to learn to love others. True Christian religion says, a person is not born for himself, but for the sake of others. We are not born for our own sakes. Happiness comes in serving others, not for the sake of the return to us, but for their sake. We can feel this happiness, especially in marriage, in caring for our children, and in the satisfaction of doing a service for others in our daily work. Each part of the word, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Heavenly Doctrine, teaches a different aspect of loving our neighbors. They fit together to make the whole picture. There is a progression, as with a child growing to an adult and then advancing into greater spiritual intelligence and wisdom. The Old Testament is at the lowest level, the most basic. The main message is, don't hurt other people. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. The emphasis is on civil justice and fairness. We find the law of retaliation, an eye for an eye. It says, if you do harm, harm will inevitably come back to you. But on the other hand, it also says, only one eye for an eye, not two eyes or a life for an eye. We often operate at this level. Basic fairness, struggling to keep the commandments, trying not to hurt other people, but not offering a lot of unselfish help to others either. The writings for the new church confirm that the first step toward true love to the neighbor is to avoid evils because they are sins against the Lord. There is no room for genuine love in our hearts as long as we are prepared to break the commandments if we see an opportunity. If we are willing to disobey the Lord and hurt someone else, we do not truly love anyone. But if we work on keeping the commandments, we make progress toward true love. In Heaven and Hell, we read, it is not so hard to live a life that leads to heaven. It is simply a matter, when something presents itself that a person knows is dishonest and unfair, something his spirit moves toward, of thinking that he should not do it because it is against the divine precepts. If a person gets used to doing this, and by getting used to it, gains a certain disposition to do it, then little by little, he is joined to heaven. In a few places in the Old Testament, the ideal of love toward the neighbor beyond mere civil justice shines out clearly. In Leviticus, we read, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Reproving, thou shalt reprove thy fellow, and not bear sin on account of him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the sons of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yehovah. And in the Psalms, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. But the scribes and Pharisees interpreted these teachings falsely, saying that only fellow Jews were the neighbor whom they ought to love. So when the Lord came into the world, he gave us the new commandment in the New Testament. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in the heavens. The Lord explicitly taught forgiveness, mercy, and forbearance. He advised us to turn the other cheek, rather than lashing out in revenge. He warned that we should not bear a grudge, an evil judgment against a fellow man, lest we be judged by the same measure. He gave us the golden rule to do to others as we would have them do to us. And this is called in the true Christian religion the general law of charity. Because the scribes and Pharisees clung so much to the merest letter of the law, neglecting the spirit of it, the Lord over and over led the people to think about our inner man, that is, our heart and intentions, not just our outward acts and appearance. For example, he taught that it's not just the murderer who is in danger of the judgment after death, but also everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause. And he warned, unless your justice shall exceed the justice of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The life of the Lord in the New Testament is a continual example of mercy and kindness. He healed the sick and forgave the spiritually sick who knew they were sick. Even on the cross, in the midst of his most severe temptation, the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Before we go on to the heavenly doctrine, let's think for a moment why the Lord in the New Testament calls love toward the neighbor a new commandment. The Lord appealed to us to raise our sights above mere compliance with the law to an attitude of mercy toward our fellow human beings. This was a new emphasis, love toward the neighbor, love in the heart and mind, as well as in action. The idea of kindness and love always comes as a new idea to the selfish side of us. You mean I'm supposed to love him? I should love those people too? This is what one racial or ethnic group has been saying about another since the fall of mankind. You mean I have to stop making sarcastic remarks about my children or my spouse, my neighbors, my colleagues at work? You mean I should do this person a kindness even though he's never done anything for me and probably never will? What's in it for me? Oh, I'm not supposed to ask that question. But what is in it for me? And the Lord's answer is nothing but the happiness of eternal life. It's a new commandment because the more we work at practicing kindness toward others and restraining hurtful impulses, the more new insights we gain into what is truly kind and what is hurtful. The Lord is always offering us such insights and thus new challenges to meet. We strive to cultivate an attitude of mercy and to figure out what mercy really means. How can I let go of my grudge and forgive? How can I forgive this person while not condoning bad behavior? How can I have a cleaner mind and be less jerked around by the evil spirits with me? How can I be more honest with myself? The Lord helps us ask these questions, and then he guides us patiently to find answers that we are able to use and to live with. The wonderful thing is that in the process, we also gain continually new levels of love. We may not feel much difference. We tend to notice the challenges, the failings, and the battles. But in aiming to keep the new commandment to love one another as the Lord loves us, the Lord renews our spirit and slowly makes us a new person. We slowly become a bit less selfish than before, less hurtful to others with our words and deeds. We become a bit cleaner and more honest each day. If that is our goal, we are aiming to follow the Lord, then it is a renewing commandment. In the early days of the Christian church, there was a strong sense of brotherly love in following the Lord together. People followed the Lord's new commandment, and there was charity and kindness. But Jesus warned the disciples that this state would not last. He said that charity would grow cold, and iniquity would abound. So he promised that he would come again to restore his new commandment for his church on earth. in the Heavenly Doctrine, one of the main teachings about love toward the neighbor is that love must be exercised thoughtfully, carefully, and with discretion, not just with a blind sentimentalism or mere emotion. Sometimes the most loving thing to do is to give someone a good talking to, or withhold the favors they ask, or even punish them in the case of a judge or a parent. The phrase tough love has been coined to emphasize that being tough and being loving are not necessarily opposites. In fact, one cannot love at all without being willing to be tough against what violates true love. We read in True Christian Religion, every person is a neighbor who is to be loved, yet according to the quality of his good. We read, good Christian sense tells us that we should take a close look at how people are living and show kindness to them accordingly. A person of the internal church makes these distinctions, which means they show kindness to people intelligently. But superficially religious people cannot make these distinctions, so they show kindness to people indiscriminately. True love for others involves a marriage of wisdom with our feelings and actions toward others. It is more difficult than sentimental love, but it is more truly loving and beneficial to those we love. Please note that the Lord's point is to teach us how to love others more and more deeply by thinking more carefully about how we may really help them best. True love is proactive, not just emotionally reactive. True love is energetic, searching for all useful information so that what we do and say can be as helpful as possible, as truly kind and loving as we can be. So we rejoice in the new understanding the Lord has given us. The most wonderful thing about the doctrine is that it teaches us to love each other better, and so to love the Lord, the source of all love and everything worthwhile in human relationships. Love is our whole life. What we love is who we are. Let's practice loving our neighbors, showing mercy toward them, turning away from hurtful things as sins against the Lord. The more we practice, the more eager we will become to understand how to love more wisely, and the more wonderful the Lord's word will become for us. And people will realize that we are the Lord's disciples because we have love for one another. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.